Matthew 12. Let's stand as we read the word together, please. Matthew 12. I covet your prayers. We minister that we may have the right messages for those that are here and those that are overseas. We send the tapes, every one of the preaching tapes, over to the people overseas. We're adding to that number because there are others going over and some are coming into the church and their relatives are over there. And so we're praying. I know one thing, the tape ministry has been a tremendous blessing. And I pray that it just do something good in those hearts. And I think we ought to praise God for what he is doing through them. Some music tapes were sent over for Christmas and other things. By the way, on Christmas Sunday, this coming Sunday, we have a stocking with candy for the kids. For the kids. And just so kids know, no. Whatever's left over, we may end up with a little bit, but otherwise it's for the children. And so that'll be on Sunday for the bus kids and also our own children. We don't want to leave anyone out. So we might enjoy that. Appreciate the ladies also that are going to be fixing the pads for the chairs. That is an order to be done soon. I'm sure that'll be taken care of. Since we don't have pews, at least we'll have padded chairs soon. We appreciate the work that's already been done. And just for anything that you all help with at the church, we thank God for your help. Matthew 12, verse 38 through 42. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. These were sign seekers. Here's the answer of the master. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in just judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Could we read just the last little bit of verse 41 and the last little bit of verse 42, beginning with and. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And then in the last part of verse 42, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Our Father, I pray you blessing on your word. Father, we could spend time speaking tonight on those that are sign seekers, but that's not the message. I pray, dear God, that we would see the greatness of our Christ, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, tonight. His glory, his greatness, his majesty, his power. We just pray your Spirit would speak to our hearts. Those that are lost, they'd see their need of Christ. Those that are saved would see that he is the all-sufficient Savior to meet every need of every heart. Every life we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you tonight on Jesus is the greatest of them all. Jesus is the greatest of everything and everybody, God Almighty excluded. Now, the Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that there's the chain of command and speaks about that, and through him all things consist over in Colossians. And Jesus is the greatest. And then it says the only exception is his Father, God Almighty. And so the only exception would be God the Father. But Jesus is the greatest of the greatest. There's none greater than him. And we need to realize his greatness. And by the way, can we say that Jesus really claimed to be somebody? And there's nothing wrong with claiming to be somebody if you are somebody. And he was God in the flesh. And here he goes down and he said, look at Nineveh. He said, you want a sign? There'll be no sign given you, but the sign, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, even so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he said, what great preaching Jonah did,
that the whole city, everyone repented. But he sums it up and he says, but a greater than Jonah is here. He's talking about himself. And then he goes on and he said, the Queen of Sheba came from way down there, not too far from where our men are. The Queen of Sheba. Look in your little maps in the back of your Bible, and it'll show you where Sheba is. And the Queen of Sheba came this great, great distance to hear of the great wisdom and see and to view personally with her own eyes and with her own ears to hear the greatness of Solomon, for she'd heard of his fame. And you remember when she came, as we preached a few months ago, how that she came and she's in her spirit left with her. She had no more spirit in her. And she said, the half has not been told of thy greatness and thy glory. And then Jesus says, but a greater than Solomon is here. I want to speak to you tonight on the greatness of Jesus. We have a great Savior, amen? He's the greatest of the great. In Hebrews 1:4, all through Hebrews, we're going to look at some verses that tell about the greatness. But here it says, Hebrews 1:4, being made so much better than the angels. He's greater and he's better than the angels. Greater and better. And then in the scriptures it tells us, and by the way, angels are created beings, but he's the creator. But I'm telling you, angels are great. You look at the time when the angel came to Gideon and how he shook. And you think about the time when the angels came and they pulled Lot and his wife and the daughters out of Sodom. You think about the angel that came to Abraham and told him he was going to have a son of his wife, his very wife, Sarah. And you think of the greatness of the angels and how they trembled. And yet, oh, Jesus is greater than the angels. I mean, the great, remember right at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus, great, glorious multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying glory to God in the highest and earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Oh, the angels with a great multitude, great power. And they just shook under the conviction and the greatness of these angels. And then they're right at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And there were two men seated there in white apparel. Said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is risen. He is not here. He is risen. And then the angels, as they went back to heaven, you remember, stood by in white apparel and said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. But Jesus is greater than the angels. Oh, he's the greatest of them all. And then John 3:30. We often use this verse. I put it in my prayer letters often. It's kind of my life verse, John 3:30. And here John the Baptist says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He's saying Jesus is to be everything, and I'm to be nothing. Let him be on the increase, and let me be on the decrease. Oh, that we'd be like that. We just glorify the Lord. John the Baptist realized how great Jesus was. He spent his whole time preparing the way for Jesus to come. Didn't he do a wonderful job? Here he got all Jerusalem and all Judea to come out and hear him preach out there. I mean, they didn't come out to see surely to see his beautiful dress, like the Queen of Sheba came to see how Solomon was arrayed. What does it say? Even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these little lilies. But I mean, Solomon had a great array, did he not, of clothing? But not John the Baptist, sackcloth and out there with camel skin and all the skins and everything to eat, and locust and wild honey. Some crazy man out there preaching, repent! Repent! Jesus is coming, amen? The Christ is coming! The Anointed One is coming! Prepare the way of the Lord! Make his path straight! Boy, John preached against that religious crowd and said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance, or I will not baptize you. Thank God for John the Baptist. Great preacher. John realized how great Jesus was. By the way, when we go out and represent the Lord Jesus and start witnessing, we need to realize who we're talking about. Well, we're not just talking about a nobody. By the way, the world talks about Jesus like he's somebody, some little friend. No, no, Jesus is God. We ought to talk about this Christ of Calvary, this glorious, holy Savior, whose eyes are as a flame of fire. Though he loved us with an unbelievable love, we'll see some of those verses later, yet that he is a holy Savior. And sin is far from him. He knew no sin. He was made sin for us, but he knew no sin. I think we ought to depict to this lost world how holy Jesus is. I think when they go around cursing and the way they're acting, we ought to say, you wait till Jesus comes and he'll deal with you, bud. You just better watch what you say. God will deal with you one day. And by the way, God the Father said he's committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. Jesus is going to be that judge upon the throne. Because God's put all the judgment into the hands of Jesus. You say, well, I thought Jesus was a sweet and loving Savior. He is, but you wait and you see at the judgment seat how sweet and lowly and loving he is. He's going to be as a flame of fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God. Thank God, you better trust him as a loving Savior now, or you'll know him in judgment as your judge, and as the one that will doom your soul to hell for all eternity. I was talking to our brother back here, and brother that preached down at his church, and he preached on that sermon, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. My, what preaching. Al Lacey preached that. What a sermon. Oh, I tell you, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You say, we're not to be vengeful, but God is. Don't you take God to task, because God's going to display his vengeance one day. One person asked me not too long ago, said, well, I don't believe God would punish people. I was just out praying the last couple days, and I said, dear Lord, I pray that I will preach hellfire as I've never preached it in the days ahead. We are in an age that knows nothing of the judgment and wrath of Almighty God. And there's no fear of God in our children. That's why they talk like they do to their parents. That's why they talk the way they do to their to their teachers. That's why they have no reverence for adults anymore. And they spark back and stick their tongue out and say no. And all sorts. We need to get a new fear of God in their heart. We parents need a new dread of God. I read again the little flyleaf in Power Through Prayer by E.M. Bounds. He says, we're all looking for better methods, and God's looking for better men. Men of prayer, men filled with the Holy Spirit of God, whom he can use. God's looking for better men, not better methods, or more and novel methods. We're so wrapped up in our methods, we don't know anything about prayer. It's a pity. And I can say shame on myself as well. The lack of prayer, even in the independent fundamental Baptist church. A lot of our men do well to get off the job and quit working a secular job and spend an hour a day in prayer with God, and God would supply his need, and he could preach all the time. Hello. Now, there may be a time getting the church started, he might have to do some secular work. I'm not saying that. Paul mended tents, but that was just all side work. Everything else was preaching, and he didn't have a wife and family. But Peter depended on the things of God to meet his needs. You check the record out. Peter trusted God, and God fed him, and God took care of his bill. We need a revival of prayer. Dr. Ian Paisley, whichever way it's said over there, came over to our country, and he said the thing that's lacking in our churches in America is prayer. He said, we preachers over in the British Isles need to come and teach you preachers, you independent fundamental crowd, how to pray. He said, you don't know one thing about prayer. And I believe that's true. You know what the average pastor will do? He'll go and you'll have a missionary evangelist come, and he'll want to show him through his beautiful church building. Come and show me. When I went out on deputation in the early 70s, this was when the churches were all, building all their buildings on bonds, so many bonds, and they couldn't pay any of them off, and they all went, half of them went defunct, and they all went bankrupt and everything else. Let me show you through my building. I felt like saying to some of the preachers, show me to your prayer room. Let's have some prayer. I'll tell you what Spurgeon did. He said, someone said, what runs this church, Spurgeon? He went down and he opened the door and he said, those 400 men on their knees praying for me, that's what runs this church. Prayer. So
don't know one thing about prayer. When the preachers don't know anything about prayer, there'll be nothing in the pews, I'll guarantee you that. Nothing left in the pews. Well, how much time do we spend in prayer? I'm saying, I put the we in there. How much time do we spend in prayer? You want to be a preacher, I think you're going to better learn how to pray. You better learn how to take some time with God. We find time to do everything else but pray. All right? We even find time to play. Huh? I think you ought to with your children. Boy, you get a ball game going or something, boy, or a picnic going or something. Huh? Boy, we get with it, won't we? I read in there, it says if the average preacher says all they think about is pleasure, and all they think about is play and pleasure, and feeding their faith, the meals, type of meals they're going to be eating. And he said, we don't spend time in prayer and in the ministry of the word like Roddy. He says, we're a failure. A complete failure. And I had to agree with him. Pleasure. Pleasure seeking. Hebrews chapter 3 is greater than Moses. Hebrews 3, 3 through 6. You say, boy, who's Moses? Moses is the greatest man, I believe, the Old Testament. I believe he's greater than Elijah. You'd have to maybe pick between the two, but I'd pick Moses. What a great man. I'll tell you, as I read through the book of the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, I'm telling you, I'm amazed at the greatness of Moses. He was so great, God buried Moses. I know Elijah was so great, God took him up in a whirlwind and up into heaven. But I'll tell you what, that Moses was some man, great man of God. Lead that crowd of people through the wilderness and all over. What a man of God he was. And here, Jesus is greater than Moses. 3 through 6 says, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son, over his own house. Whose house are we? Aren't you glad we're Jesus' house? Christ's house? That's what he called it. That's why we call it the Lord's house. Amen? This is the church house. You know what this does? This houses the church. But we are the church. We're the church. Whose house are we? And what the rejoicing in hope firm unto the end. Christ is greater than Moses. Greater than Moses. And then, he's greater than the high priest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. And I'm telling you what, in the minds of the people, the high priest was it. He was something. He was somebody who went once a year in behind the veil into the Holy of Holies with the blood for himself and for the sins of himself and for the sins of others. Well, I'll tell you, Jesus is greater than that high priest. By the way, you check the tribes, and there were three tribes on this side, and three tribes on this side, and three tribes on this side, and three tribes on this side. And in the middle of the whole thing was the tabernacle of God. And God wants to be in the middle of everything. Jesus in the midst of the Trinity, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He's in the middle cross too, thank you. Amen? Two on either side, but Jesus in the midst. He's in the midst of the church. He's in the midst of the believer, and he wants to be in the midst of your home, and in the midst of your personal walk and your personal life. And the Lord wants to be in the midst of your job too. Better put the Lord first. I am convinced, beyond all question, that the only reason some of our men are having the victory in Jesus they're having over there in Saudi Arabia is that they just don't have the sin available to them. They can't get liquor. Now, they belong to the Lord. And I tell you, some of those that even belong to the Lord, if the liquor was there, would already messed up some of them. Oh, you know what this is proving to me?
Huh? You know what it proves to me? It proves all these bunch of psycho brain analyzing people to be a bunch of idiots. It does matter. They said, you shouldn't take your little daughter boy and put them in a little, what do they call, incubator, or you should not put them in a little glass house. Well, you do it with flowers, and you preserve the flowers, and they grow better in the glass house than out there where the frost is. One good frost, and bam! You say, how do you know? I went out and checked my garden afterwards. Those beautiful little plants, those little squash that I planted, I didn't think they'd come up. They never did, but they came up a little bit. I'm telling you, one frost, zoo, they were just flat as flat could be. You say, why? Well, it works with plants, but it doesn't work with people. Tell me that. What about the reforger in the first part of our church, and we had every one of our men come back, and it all gotten around the booze hall, booze tents, beer tents. And they listen to come to the music. I mean, in 2 months. In less than 60 to 90 days, they all came back as a bunch of whipped puppy dogs. Why? Because evil communication corrupts good man. It does matter whether you're around a bunch of liquor-sucking, nasty-tongued people. And it does matter for our men who have the normal physical desires. It does make a difference if you bring a bunch of nasty, filthy, dirty, sexy little slobs and sluts in there. It does make a difference to keep that bunch of filthy things away from our boy. Why? Because they're human and we're all weak. And you don't think we ought to do more for our children who don't even know what's right and wrong? And they're growing up and much more tender. They're the little supple plant, and we need to be very careful where they go. Brother Hammond said that. He said, I went to Pensacola Christian, and he said, I feel a whole lot better about my daughter going down there now that I've been there. He said they had so many rules, it was unbelievable. His dear wife couldn't believe it. And we had someone from Pensacola here, and I said, praise God, I hope they put some more rules in. I said, I went to Bob Jones University. I was in my later 20s, had two children. Well, I had one already when I started there. Had three when I ended. But anyhow, I went there, and here I'm standing in line. It was worse than the Navy. Here I am married to all these young kids. Where were you? Why were you 1 second late behind the bell? Oh, waiting in line. And thank God I took time to memorize my scripture verses and go over my lessons. I'm so glad I had that time there. But it was unbelievable. And here I'm a married man. But I'm out. I've been out a while now, and I thank God for rules. See, but the devil's crowd, this humanistic crowd, and this demonic and this evolution-minded crowd would just as soon, they don't care if your child's polluted or not, because they're all polluted themselves. Their minds are dirty. Their music's dirty. It does matter whether we send our girls to a place that they have a lot of rules, that they might be preserved and kept pure. It does matter. Amen? Keep all those vulturistic boys away. Amen? You say, well, they're all supposed to be Christians. Well, I'm telling you, even if two-thirds of them really are, you still have a great problem. Because those boys have innate desires just like the unsaved boy. Amen? We all want our children to do better than we do, but the only trouble is they have the same old dirty Adamic nature in them that we had when we were growing up. And they have a whole lot more influence on the outside, which is terrible. Most of you all, some of you older people, we never grew up in a rock and roll age. It was just coming in. But now you can't go anywhere not here. And if you're not careful, you can't even go to Christian's home. I heard this black preacher, bless his heart, Stephen brought a tape, this fella, and he was preaching, what's his name, Steve? Man, this guy could preach. I'd like to have him come and preach. That guy, he was the strongest fella. He says, we ought to be 10 times better because we're God's children. Man, that guy could preach. Ooh, got plenty. He got plain on rock music. What do you call that lady? Amy Grubb? How plain he got. He said to add all this jazzy music, Christian rock. He said, Christian rock. He said, that's like saying
and he used two other things that were so totally diverse it was beyond belief. Like a cow and a human or something. Ridiculous. I thought, we need some straight preaching. Plain preaching. That's what we need. Amen? I pray to God, I pray, Lord, you just make me preach hellfire like I've never preached. I'll tell you what will keep people from sin is they realize God is a consuming fire and God's angry with the wicked every day and God will not just put up with our dirty sin like a Santa Claus on the throne. I tell you, these Santa Clauses that are picking up all our children over there in the mall have all got a sweet smile on their face. But this God of glory, he is upset with sin. He has been upset with sin. He's upset with sin now. And he will forever be upset with sin in the life of an unbeliever and in the life of a believer as well. God will not put up with sin. And if this preacher has it, he won't put up with mine either. And I do well to remember that regularly. Because I've got to meet the same God you have. Amen. I'm so glad for God's word. Truth of God's word. He's greater than the high priest. And then he's greater than Aaron, which is the high priest. Verse chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. And no man taketh this honor unto himself. This is Hebrews 5, 4 and 5. But he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also, Christ glorified, not himself, to be made and high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. He's higher, he's greater than Aaron. Christ made a high priest. Thou art my son. The only begotten son. And we're all a son of God by faith in Christ Jesus, but he's the son of God. He's the very son of God. We have a great Savior. He can save from all races, amen, and all times. I'm going down to Mexico again. I'd like to see some Spanish people get saved. I've heard them listen to me. I don't know if I've ever led them under the Lord. I've seen them under conviction. I've given out thousands of thanks, but I'd like to lead some of them from brown gold to Jesus, amen. Amen. All kinds of gold. Amen. Are we after the gold? Huh? Listen, we didn't have all this dirty world to put up with. We'd be able to get our mind on winning souls a little easier, don't you think? I believe we better stay away from the world. I believe it's more in order today. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you and be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. 7, verse 26 through 28. Hebrews 7, 26 through 28. This is still about the high priest. For such an high priest became us who is holy. You know Jesus is holy. Harmless. Undefiled.
Separate from sinners. Now that doesn't mean he wouldn't touch him, because he did touch him when he was criticized for touching sinners. And Jesus went down and reached the sinners, but he did not go out and play games with them. He did not fellowship with sinners. He was just there to win them to himself. He went and ate at Matthew's house. Why? Matthew just gotten saved, and all his friends were publicans. That's like getting Matthew saved, and he brings some guy from the from the gangster crowd, the underground, the mafia, and he gets all of his gangster friends here. He can bring them into church. We'll preach Christ to them too. Amen. We'll sit around the table with them and tell them about Jesus. We won't go out there and in their planning meetings when they're going to hit a place the next week. We're not going to sit there and listen to them talk about that. We're not going to listen to their nasty talk either. We're not going to sit around where they blow their stinking smoke in our face unnecessarily. Now, if they're young and they don't know the Lord yet, we may even put up with a little of that. Amen. Just to get them saved and get the gospel to them. And then all they're drinking, we're not going to stay around all that. Amen. Why? In affection. You know what happens if you stay around liquor-drinking crowd too much? You know what it'll do to you? Even your relatives? It'll keep you from speaking up and out against sin like you ought to! Because you're hanging around all that filth! Amen? Went to my relative's house and he came in the door and he just came back from Vietnam. There's a party for my brother-in-law, and his mother said, the punch is in the living room and the beer's in the basement. Come on in, just make yourself a home. Tried everything I could to try to witness in the midst of that mess, and I said, I'm never going to that stuff. Amen? You ever went to that thing, you ought to say, I want at least 5 or 10 minutes. I'm going to get up and preach to you. By the way, drinking liquor is dirty as the devil, and wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whoever's deceived everybody is not wise enough. You're a bunch of foolish people, every one of you. I'll tell you what, they wouldn't want you back at their party again. Amen? But what we do is we wait till we leave, and we talk about it after we're gone, when it does no good at all. Amen? And by our very presence, we've watered down our conviction and our stand for God. By our presence. Am I right? I find myself, I'm real brave in the pulpit. But it's another thing when you're out there right one-on-one, amen? Or ten-on-one, or you're in some store or something. I'm telling you, I went into Sam's Warehouse trying to get some things, waiting for Stephen down there last night. And I'm telling you what, they had all these hi-fi things. I couldn't turn them all off. They had too many going on at one time. I did my best to turn every one of them off. I never heard such junky music. I mean, all the way down, they all had it on the same station, the whole mess. I'm telling you, and they're having to subject me to that bunch of trash. And some of you all have listened to it enough that you're accepting it. It's coming right into your church. That same rock beat. And everything's got drums in it. They got the little drums in it. But you know, after they got the drums in it, and it all came out of the jungle, I don't care what you think about it. I know I'm right, and you're wrong, and you better get your ass together. Because you make it all right, but your kids won't. That'll be their lifestyle. Rock and roll. Christian rock. It's just infiltrated. I'm telling you, it's a sad day when I go to independent fundamental churches, and you don't know what in the world kind of music's going to be coming on next. The sad day in our country, because the next greatest thing to preaching is the music of heaven. The psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're to have what? The preaching and the singing. That's the second one. You get that all messed up. One lady told me, and she played for when Billy Graham was straight, and he's not anymore. But when Billy Graham preached against the Roman church, amen. When he preached against communism, said those were the two worst evils in this country, in the whole world, when he was straight. But this lady played when he first went on the radio. Mrs. Magnuson, she's a beautiful piano player. Her daughter won the whole thing at Bob Jones, the freshman class. She's a marvelous pianist. She played for Billy Graham when he was first on, way back in the early days. Mrs. Magnuson said, the first thing, Brother Harvey, that goes in the churches is the music. Watch the music. Watch the music. Some of these fellows, I say this kindly, but you better watch out about these fellows who are listening to all this rock music to find out what's wrong. Huh? Pretty soon they're allowing some of the stuff that they didn't allow before. You got to be careful. You shouldn't get too familiar with evil. The Bible says we're to be simple concerning evil, but wise concerning that which is good. So don't get too wise concerning that which is evil. You be wise concerning that which is good. And you be just real simple. Yes, that's no good. Amen? Lest it overtake you. There's very, very little spiritual discernment in our people in our church today. I don't think they're reading the Bible. Very little spiritual discernment. And I thank God for pastors and preachers. But I'll tell you what, when the pastors don't have any discernment, then the people really need to get in the Word of God. Amen. You ought to get your discernment from heaven and from the Holy Ghost that lives in you and teaches you from this Word. My, our time is gone. I felt like preaching tonight. Amen. Well, he's greater than the sacrifices. We'll find out in Hebrews 9, 23 through 28. He's great. Here's the greatest love of all, Ephesians 3, 19. I never did find the other verse, but the Bible says that greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for a friend. The greatest lover of all was Jesus, for he laid down his life for all of us. It's one thing to die for this person here. It's another thing to die for this person. The Bible says that's the greatest love you could show. But Jesus laid down his life for the whole world. So he is the greatest. His love is the greatest of all. But we do have a verse over in Ephesians 3:19, if I found the right one. Ephesians 3:19. Please look there just a moment.
And there it tells us, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. It's beyond our thinking. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Would to God we got filled up with the Bible.
I will say probably the result and some, the reason some of you all are in church tonight, you wouldn't be otherwise, is you had a preacher that just preached the devil out of you. Amen. Now, I know he doesn't live in belief. But his influence sure does affect us. Amen. I believe we ought to have a fear to sin. I believe we need to get back to basics. It's right to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. Amen. And when people aren't there, we ought to wonder and ask why they're not there. Amen. Oh, me. Amen. Something. Amen. Why should I come if you don't need to come? Well, you're the preacher. I have you know I came when I was working a job between church and city. Because I believe it's right to be faithful. If you can be faithful. Amen. If I was faithful as a lost, unconverted Methodist, I don't see why I shouldn't be faithful as an independent, fundamental, separated, soul-winning saint, born again by believing God. Amen. I believe the church is important. I wouldn't miss too many messages that the Lord's prepared for you and you miss. You might need that word. You might need it a lot worse than you think you need. Well, God calls preachers. God starts churches. Well, I think people need to thank the Lord and praise God that we're His. Well, since Christ is that great, thank God He can save. Amen. And you know what else He can do? He can forgive us. What a great forgiveness He has. And the third thing, the great victory. God, if God's that great, He can give us victory over sin and death. If we just look to Him and ask Him for it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We praise you, our Father, for your great salvation. Thank you that Jesus saved. Dear Lord, I thank you, saved me. Thank you for bringing these dear friends that are visiting with us tonight. Minister to their hearts. We need thee, Lord. We need thy presence. We're nothing but sinners saved by grace. We're just nothing but dirty people that have been made clean by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you. Help us to have something for our children and grandchildren when you come back for us, Lord. Save us from all that. May we preach and live and walk and talk in such a manner that there'll be something, dear Lord, even more for our grandchildren than ourselves. The sin is about and everything. Dear God, help us. The heads bowed, eyes closed for a moment of invitation. Let me ask you a question. Do you know that you're saved? Are you sure that you know you're saved? Or are you not sure about it? You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. And I need to be sure. Pray for me. I need to be sure I'm saved. And I'm not sure about it. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand for prayer? We want to pray for you. Pray with you. I'm not sure I'm saved. And I need to be sure. I want to be sure. I need to be. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Pray for me. Please leave prayer. Anyone? Wait a moment. One here and you say, I'm saved. I know Jesus. I know I'm born again. I sure need to get some things right in my life. Let the Lord have His way in my life in a new way. Spend more time in that blessed word. Spend more time in prayer. You mentioned prayer. Lack of prayer. Wonder why we have no power. Learn to pray. Anyone else? God's speaking your heart as a Christian. I sure need prayer. God bless this good deal. This can be as many things. God bless you. We'll be as Christian. Oh, pray for this Christian. Let's pray one for another. Any of them. God bless you. Father, God bless you. We do need God bless you. We need to draw close to us. We might be something of a praise to thee, but others might know God. Help us. Save those that need to be saved.